Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Key.
The lesson tonight is about legacy. And I, in preparation for the lesson, reflected back over the course of my life whenever there was a time when I lived in the moment, you might say. A time in my life when I pretty much lived in the day, not really thinking about tomorrow or very far into the future at best. And it was during that time that I would have said, live and let live. Let each one do whatever he or she chooses to do, and don't really worry about what tomorrow holds. I'm not exactly sure at what point in my life things changed, but there was an occurrence in my life where that I started to think about really and truly what my life consisted of, and my thoughts on life, and my relationship with God, and how all of those things need to be affected by my life in Christ. And whenever I started thinking about those matters in preparation for tonight, it was a time in my life that truly I'm not very proud of, to be quite frank with you. Because during that time frame, I certainly do not believe that I was living as what God expected me to live. And I would trust that probably all of us, if we're honest with ourselves, are able to look back over at least segments of our life and to say, you know, I really and truly could have and should have done better. Whenever I think about a legacy, the word legacy literally carries with it the idea of things that we are leaving behind. It can be from a monetary standpoint where that people will leave wealth behind for the generations that are left behind. But usually, whenever we use this word legacy, we're speaking with reference to the type of life that we have lived, the type of example that we have conveyed during the time in which we were here, the ways in which we will be remembered not only by our families, but by the church and by the people in our community. And therefore, tonight, I ask the question, what type of legacy are you building? Because in truth, aren't we all building some sort of a legacy that we will indeed leave behind? Whenever I think about people who have lived and the legacy, if you would, that they have left behind, I think about historical figures such as George Washington. And you could probably ask anyone in here, who is George Washington? And the first thing that they would say is he was the first President of the United States of America. You might also get a response as he's the one, is he not, that chopped down the cherry tree. And believe it or not, there's actually a debate as to whether or not he did that. I found it most interesting that I was listening to something this past week, I believe it was, out of Nashville, and they were actually talking about historical figures, and George Washington is one of them, where that after the war and after he has served as the president, he simply said, I'm going back to Virginia. He had promised his wife that, and according to what I was told during that segment is that he did that. He went back home, and he lived a very humble life with his wife after serving as a president, the first president of the United States of America. That's his legacy that he has left behind. Harriet Tubman. How many in here remember that name? Harriet Tubman. I remember sitting in class back in high school, and we were studying concerning slavery and how that we broke from slavery and how that Harriet Tubman played a very significant role in this as she was responsible for the Underground Railroad. And I remember hearing that phrase, Underground Railroad, and Mike, I first thought that they had a literal Underground Railroad, and that's not at all the case, but rather she would slip slaves into homes and hide them out, and the people in their homes would participate and lead these individuals to freedom. She was very responsible, and she put her life on the line for helping to free slaves during the time in which she lived here in this world. Think about also Abraham Lincoln. If memory serves me right, and don't judge me on this if I'm wrong, I think he was the 17th President of the United States of America. And in this, what is it that he's remembered for? The Gettysburg Address. I remember whenever we lived in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, periodically we would go down to Gettysburg, and there in their gift shop they have copies of the Gettysburg Address, and I have a copy of that back in my office that I bought and look at that from time to time. Very profound, and believe it or not, it is said that he wrote that kind of on the cuff as they were coming in and up on Gettysburg, and for it to have been written on the cuff, he did a really good job, put a lot of thought into that. And what it is that he said there played a very strong role in not only doing away with slavery, but it helps to pattern where we are today in the United States. Jesse James. How many in here remember hearing about Jesse James, studying about Jesse James? He was a notorious bank and train robber whenever I was growing up. And don't judge me on this for sure. I wanted to be a Jesse James. I don't know. It's a kid thing, I guess. I like the idea about being a cowboy. And to me, I kind of related him as a cowboy. He was noted universally for what it is that he did and his gang, the James Gang, in going and robbing trains and robbing banks. And in fact, we visited several years ago in Missouri his hideout. I believe it's Merrimack Caverns, as best I can remember. And they have a lot of memorabilia in regard to his bank robberies and train robberies there at that cave. He's known for something bad. Oh, what about Richard Nixon? How many in here was alive whenever Richard Nixon was in office? How many of us in here remember him serving in office? You're telling your age tonight. Richard Nixon. It's my understanding that he did some really good things as the president from things that I have read about him. But what is it that he's remembered for? Watergate, right? The Watergate scandal. And with regard to that, it even led to his impeachment. And Ford, I believe it was, actually let him off after he took office to where he didn't have to serve any prison time. But whenever you mention Richard Nixon, that's what you remember him for, is the Watergate scandal. Those are some historical figures. Now let's think about some people more modern, and I'm dealing with my lifetime for sure here. Ronald Reagan, he was noted even unto this very day as a very respectable president. I remember as a kid hearing about Reaganomics. I don't remember what all of Reaganomics was about. I just remember from my parents' standpoint, it was a good thing. From somebody else's perspective, it wasn't a good thing. But one thing that everyone remembers about Ronald Reagan, not only that he served as president, but he was also an actor, and he was a very gentle man, a very gentleman, I might even say at that. Bill Gates, the founder of Microsoft. And if only you and I had known what this man knew and had the backing financially and support that he had to create and to move forward with Microsoft. Microsoft is a very big part of our world today, and he is very wealthy. There was a time, I believe, where he was the most wealthy individual here in the United States. I'm not sure that that's the case even unto this day. What about Dolly Parton? All of us know about Dolly Parton, a female country music artist, very popular back whenever she was in her prime, as well as very popular even unto this very day. Y'all will remember not very many years ago whenever the fire took place up in Gatlinburg, and it was Dolly Parton, I believe it was, that funded and helped to set up a fund where that others could also pay into, to where those who were devastated, affected, that they were able to receive some sort of a compensation that went on and on for a period of time. She is known for her compassion as a result of that measure. If I say Joel Osteen, what comes to your mind? I'll tell you what's at my mind. It's on the screen. He's known in the world as an evangelist, a TV evangelist at that. But I'm going to stand before you today and tell you that there's no doubt about it. I've heard him with my own ears. I've watched his program a few times, and out of the times that I've seen him, he is a false teacher. He likes to tickle the ears of people. He won't teach what the truth says all the way across the board, and that's what God wants us to do. Anyone who speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God, or I'm going to say this, they need to be quiet. And Joel Osteen needs to be quiet. But he's known as a TV evangelist, and in the Lord's church, we see him as a false teacher. I was clipping through my slides before we got started, and Shirley says, are we going to learn about Pat Sajak tonight? A little bit. Pat Sajak, what do you know him for? The Wheel of Fortune, correct? I learned from Don just before we got started, as we were kind of back here talking about these things, is that evidently Pat Sajak used to serve as a weatherman or newsman here in Tennessee, in Nashville for many, many years. That's kind of where he got his start, and then moved off to Hollywood out to California, and now he's TV personality especially with the Wheel of Fortune, and is it Vanna White? Okay, I thought I had to write one there with him. Vanna White, there's talk that she's going to take over that program, by the way. I heard his name this last week on the radio, and they were saying that he is known out in Hollywood because of the fact that he is just a very upright individual. That he's a man that if he tells you something, he's going to stick to it, and that you never have to worry about him being involved in a scandal. Now, I say that, and tomorrow you'll learn he's in a scandal. That's kind of the way it goes, right? But according to what they're saying, they said he's a Christian. And I remember hearing that years and years ago, that he was a member of the church. So I did some research, and sure enough, he's a member of the Lord's church. Now, I don't know anything about the congregation of which he's a part of, but he claims to be a member of the Churches of Christ. And that would go a long way in helping us to understand why he is upright, why he's a man of his word, why he is a righteous individual. From a biblical standpoint, there are some examples that God puts forth, and there are a number of examples that we could go to tonight to think about, but there are some specific ones that we've heard about before, some maybe not so much so, that I want to mention for our consideration tonight about legacy, leaving a legacy behind. What about Aquila and Priscilla? A husband and wife who the Apostle Paul thought very much of. And this husband and wife, they were tent makers. And Paul can relate with them because he's also a tent maker. And Paul works with his husband and wife as they, know what I'm going to say, they were working together as they were also working with others in our Lord's mission to take the gospel into the entirety of the world. It was Aquila and Priscilla, was it not, who helped to teach one who was teaching in regard to the baptism of John alone. They took him aside and taught him more perfectly, more accurately, what it was that this individual needed to teach about the will of God. Not only do we have Aquila and Priscilla, but we also have Phoebe. A lot of times I don't think that we mention the women of the Bible enough, and Phoebe's one of those individuals that probably doesn't get enough recognition and a lot of sermons built in and around about her. If you'll draw from the context of Romans chapter 16, verses 1 and following, you're going to find is that she is a servant. It is the word servant there is a derivative of the same word that's used for deacon, dikaios. But it's not that she was a deaconess. She's not serving as some sort of a glorified female deacon in the church. That's not what God is intending, but rather He's using, employing that word to help us understand that she was indeed a special servant in the church, not holding an office in the church, if you would, as a deacon. But she was a very special servant in the church. How much so? From that context, we learn that there was a congregation that met in her home. And therefore, not only did the church gather there, I believe, for worship assemblies, but I believe that the church would have also come together for other such gatherings, fellowships, and things of that nature. She was a worker in the church that helped to bring glory and honor unto our God's name. And then we have some that are mentioned in Paul's epistle to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 19 and verse 20, Hymenaeus and Alexander. And with Hymenaeus and Alexander, in that context, it said that they suffered shipwreck. And not a literal shipwreck in this context, but rather it's spiritual shipwreck. Well, what does that mean? It means that these individuals were members of the body of Christ. I believe from what I'm gathering there and the fact that they're members of the church is that there was a point where that they were on ship, where that they were doing well in regard to their personal relationship with God, and probably they were engaged as members of the Lord's church doing some very positive things. However, by the time in which Paul is writing Timothy here, he says that this is no longer the case. They suffered whenever it comes to their relationship with our God. And I would trust that there were some things in their lives that challenged them, that served as trials to them. There was times in their lives where that they were being tossed to and fro with different things, maybe even different winds of doctrine. And they allowed those things to shipwreck them whenever it come to their relationship with our God. And then we find in 3 John verses 10 through verse 12, or there and about. You might even take that a little bit further in regard to the context, but you're going to find a man by the name of Diotrephes. A lot of these names we're familiar with from a biblical standpoint, but we don't find them too often today. And I believe that what we read about Diotrephes is probably why you don't find that name today, especially amongst members of the Lord's church. Why is this? He either is, or at least he presents himself in this context, as some sort of a leader in the church. And what type of a leader is he? According to what we find, I believe that he demanded some sort of a dictative role. The scripture actually says that he sought the preeminence, meaning that he wanted to be first. It always had to be about him and his way. So much so, the Bible teaches us, is that he was trying to decide and make decisions on who could and who couldn't be identified as a faithful member of the Lord's church. And John writes to warn the church about this individual, and not only about his spirit of who he was, but also I believe it serves as a warning that Christians need to guard against that type of a spirit today. And then we also have a man by the name of Simon Peter, Andrew's brother. But he's much more than Andrew's brother, is he not? He's Peter. And what all do we know about Peter in respect to his relationship with the Lord? We understand that he was chosen by the Lord. God saw something about this man that he wanted to use. And he doesn't present him as a perfect individual, but a man who certainly was striving for perfection in Christ our Lord. And the Lord chose him as he chose others to serve as an apostle. Peter served as an apostle. And he served with mistakes. He served with a genuine heart, and he served to the point where the Lord used him to help establish the body of Christ the day of Pentecost after our Lord's death, burial, and resurrection there at Golgotha at Calvary. Peter didn't stop with serving as an apostle. He also went on to serve as a preacher in the church, going about, and I realize there's kind of a dual role and responsibility when it comes to his apostleship and the fact that he was serving as a preacher. But we see him at various times where he's preaching and teaching. And that's really a role that I believe that he played from an individual standpoint, differing from his role as an apostle. And then finally, we read concerning him as an elder in the body of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through verse 5 help to signify those things. And these individuals, from a biblical standpoint, are even more so important for us to see them and their legacy compared to this historical people and the more modern people that I share tonight. It's important for us to see these biblical examples and the legacy that they've left behind, because God is showing us their faith. God is showing us these individuals, who they were, who they said that they were, who they represented during the time in which they were here. God shows us these individuals to say, you need to learn lessons from these people. And you need to make sure that whenever it comes to the positive people that you're trying to lead a positive life in your relationship with God, when it comes to the negative people, you need to steer clear of those people, being that type of a person. And you need to think about, as these people, I believe, also thought about from time to time, at least, who you are today and what that will mean before God whenever you pass from this life, but then also what that will mean to others that we leave behind. They're going to talk about us. And let's give them something good to say, amen? Let's leave a legacy that says he or she was faithful in Christ. He or she was faithful and committed and workers in the kingdom of Christ. And they did everything that they could, not only for their soul, but also to win others to Jesus before it was too late. Legacy. What type of legacy are you building? What type of legacy will you leave behind? Are you a New Testament Christian? If not, the invitation is for you tonight that you might confess Christ to be the Son of God and submit yourself in obedience to be baptized for the forgiveness of sin. If you're here and you're struggling with your faith and you've walked away, especially from the Lord, and you need the prayers of the church, we will pray with you and for you. If you're subject to this call, his invitation this very hour, please come now.